The Ryan Tubridy Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. With our broadband, your world is limitless. Live beyond.
Well, very good morning to all. Ryan Tubridy with you. This is Tuesday morning, the 25th of February 2020. We are here till 10 a.m. and the text number for you this morning, if you want to get involved, please do so on 51551. If you'd rather send an email, that's also an option. Ryan@rte.ie. Right, what do we got for you today? Well, first of all, it's a beautiful day outside. It's a little chilly, but the sun is shining and that's gorgeous. Secondly, the flooding in Shannon and various parts of the country is distressing. And just looking at it in the news in the last 24 hours and 48 hours, and actually having driven past a lot of the sites over the weekend, it is not an easy time. So our thoughts are with you if you're in the middle of all of that today, and hopefully you're being helped out and there's a sense of community spirit. But not a nice time and not an easy time. So we're conscious of that too this morning. In the papers, meanwhile, what have we got for you? Well, obviously, there's so much talk about the coronavirus. All I'll say to you is there's a pretty handy little guide to different things, like Kim Beelenberg writing in the Irish Independent today. Talks about things like with the global death toll heading towards 3,000 and almost 80,000 infected, how can we protect ourselves? But the World Health Organization have guidelines, things like maintain social distancing and don't kiss. So keep at least 3 feet distance between yourself and other people, particularly those who are coughing and sneezing and who have a fever. And when someone who is infected with a disease like this coughs or sneezes, they project droplets containing the virus. And one virologist even warns to avoid kissing and hugging. But I presume this is in extreme circumstances where the virus is very much present. But if you're travelling in a plane, for example, go by the window. Take the window seat. Apparently, this is the way it had far fewer close encounters than people in other seats. So that's useful in terms of how close you'll be to people. Clean the tray table and avoid seat pockets. This is something that I thought only lunatics did until I got on a plane not too long ago. And with the people I was with, some colleagues, and we all took out wipes, hand sanitizer, the seats, did the full Naomi Campbell, every bit of the tray, the seat, wiped it all down. And thought, I might look like a crazy horse, but I'm still doing this anyway because I want to avoid the risk and also becoming slightly more germophobic or something like that. Maybe I'm just believing my own hype talking here in the mornings. I'm not sure. But clean is good. Be careful where you travel is a very obvious point to make. Tips on how to use a mask and avoiding touching your face and practicing respiratory hygiene and seeking medical care early. All these sort of tips are there for you in pretty much everywhere you might look today. Today we talk about things like, there's Tom Cruise. He's skedaddled from Italy over coronavirus fears. They were making Mission Impossible 7. There's a kind of mad irony to be flippant for a moment that Mission Impossible 7 stops because of the coronavirus. But I can understand why he'd get out of there. It's a high risk area, so don't hang around if you can help it. And there is that slightly worrying thing. Even watching a piece on CNN last night from a toy fair in New York, and they reckon there's going to be a toy scarcity because 83% of the toys, 83% of the toys coming into America are made in China. And that is a serious problem. You'd heard about clothes and things like that this morning, but the realization dawning us on the enormity of the Chinese contribution to our culture, whether you like it or not, and generally we like it, but it just is, it becomes very apparent that we have more than we realize in common in terms of things we buy and touch. And it brings us back to this sense of community and island and shopping local and buying Irish and just minding our own in as much as we can. Donald Trump was in India yesterday. The Prime Minister of India is a fascinating person, whatever your politics, but he is. Prime Minister Modi is, he'd be quite closely aligned, I'm told, and from my reading of it, to Trumpian politics in terms of nationalism and showmanship in some ways. enormously popular by the looks of things over there. And he promised him big crowds, and he got pretty big crowd. I was looking at the report last night. It's the biggest cricket stadium in the world, something like that. And it was jammed. And the music they walked him onto before his speech in India was The Village People, which I thought was quite surprising, because I didn't think that would be on Trump's playlist, if he has a playlist, or on his record player. In an unwittingly hipsterish way, he might have a record player, but I just didn't. And it's a song called Macho Man, which is a song I've never heard of, by The Village People. But apparently he has walked on to their other great hit. You know, please welcome the President of the United States.
It's going to be huge. India, big crowds, believe me. Welcome aboard. Team Trump, 2020, four more years. Young
man, I mean, I just wouldn't have young man. Had him out as a YMCA guy. He's not a YMCA, you know, he's not a YMCA guy, you know. I just wouldn't have put them together. Anyway, it turns out YMCA have got onto this and said, it's cool, we don't mind. They issued a statement to say, if he wants to do that, he can do it. Since our music is not being used for a specific endorsement, the president's use is perfectly legal, and he's remained respectful in his use of our songs and has not crossed the line. According to the Huffington Post this morning, though the Village People's roots are deeply embedded in gay culture and the Trump administration has spent the last 3 years dismantling legal protections for transgender and gay people, a Village People spokeswoman told HuffPost the band's hands are tied. The fact, they said, that Donald Trump is legally using the songs has nothing to do with gay support of the group. The law is the law. There's nothing that can be done to stop Donald Trump using this at this time. So off he goes. And they don't seem to be too unhappy, and he's happy enough about it. And talking about being a little more introspective, that's not to say we can't be global in our ideas and welcoming, but there's nothing wrong with looking inwards. I don't know if you've seen the ad that's doing the rounds for paddypower.com. And whenever we mention something like paddypower.com or any other organisation that involves betting, so we always put a health warning in terms of betting sensibly and responsibly. That's a thing first. We do it with alcohol as well. Drink responsibly. So I'll just say that in advance of this story. But I heard people talking about it, and it wasn't until the weekend that I saw the ad with Colm Meaney. Have you seen the ad? Colm Meaney, who we all know, of course, and love, as Jimmy Rabbit and Chief O'Brien and Star Trek and everything else. And he's walking along, letting rip at England's attitude to the Irish in a new ad for Paddy Power. And the ad is really for the upcoming Cheltenham Racing Festival, which we'll be featuring next week in the programme. And he takes aim at the English for a glut of amusing misdemeanors. And he's set up this ad. He said, look, it's sort of gentle joshing, if you like, given the sporting rivalry that exists between England and Ireland. It's a nice gentle pushback. He says it's certainly giving things a little more sauce, a little more heat. So here's Colm Meaney. This is my ad. No, this is Colm Meaney, actor, taking on the English in some ways. If you haven't heard it, here it is.
Look, we need to have a chat. Neighbour to neighbour. This is for laughing at the way we say 33. And you can't even say Siobhan. For claiming Saoirse and Katie and Niall as your own. For ordering a black and tan in front of us without blinking. And claiming your grandfather was from Clare. He was a landlord. For serving baked beans with a fry. For ruining words like banter. Stop before you ruin crack. For it's coming home. Lads, not everything can come home. For geo-blocking the iPlayer. And for dragging us into your messy divorce. For leaving us in the worst parts of your airports. And for chasing out the first royals that were ever any fun. And for not caring as much as we do about Ireland versus England. Every year we get one chance. Our horses winning big on your turf.
There you are. That's the new ad from Paddy Power with Colm Meaney giving us a flavour of what do the English never do for us, I suppose you could say. It's just got people talking, and I thought I'd play it for you today and see what you reckon. There was a painting that crossed my way when we were at the Crawford Art Gallery in Cork very, very recently. And it stayed with me because it's by Sean Keating, who'd be a painter, an Irish painter that you know, I'd quite like to see. It kind of reminds me of the sort of shades of Norman Rockwell, if you know, in this particular painting I'm going to talk about called The Men of the South. Quite hard probably to talk about painting on the radio, but I mention it because you can look it up for starters, Men of the South by Sean Keating in the Corfe Gallery. It's a beautiful painting. They were pointing it out to us on our little tour of the Crawford Art Gallery. But anyway, Ellie O'Byrne has a massive piece, a big piece about it in the Irish Examiner today. So I kind of was reading about it and I was just taken by this story because we had been told the story briefly in passing, but reading further into it. This is the iconic painting with a particularly fascinating history. In the summer of 1921, during the ceasefire that accompanied Michael Collins' Anglo-Irish Treaty negotiations in London, a band of armed and trench-coated IRA men knocked on the door of the Dublin Metropolitan School of Art. "We're here to see Keating," they told the petrified porter. The artist, Sean Keating, who taught at the school and had a studio there, is said to have casually responded, "All right, bring them up." And sure enough, the men from the 2nd North Cork Brigade of the IRA were to sit for Keating for a painting he would entitle Men of the South. And the painting, which now hangs in Cork's Crawford Art Gallery, has been chosen by On Post as their commemorative staff for 2020. Now, this is where you and I come in, because we'll buy these stamps and go, "What's this? It's a nice picture." It's actually a really important picture, because they had to choose really carefully. 2020, War of Independence, heading towards Civil War commemoration. Even the choice of a stamp and a picture and 100 years on is important. So they chose very carefully. It's back to the piece. It's a painting that continues to fascinate, especially in Munster. And the painting's enduring popularity is no small part down to the fact that we know who all the men are. So it's not some idealised imaginary portrait of soldiers who may or may not have existed. I'll tell you who they are. North Cork Brigade, the men we see in this picture are Jim Reardon, Dennis O'Mullan, Jim Cashman, John Jones, Roger Kiley and Dan Brown. But this is an intriguing side story as well. The commander, Sean Moylan, sat as a subject alongside them as Keating photographed and sketched the group, but he asked to be omitted from the finished painting because he felt that the British would see it, he'd be recognised and he'd be compromised. So he said, kick me out, don't put me near it. And it was an example of instant history produced with an eye to posterity, but a conscious work of propaganda, we're told in this piece this morning. Goes on to say, anyway, as popular as ever with Munster gallery goers, and we're told people joke that half of Cork claims to be descended from these men, but in actual fact, there are so many people who do have a connection to it. And these are all real men from North Cork, South Limerick, and Keating, as a Limerick man himself, it's his hinterland in some ways, and it's his generation. Many people don't know that a second unfinished version of Keating's painting, this time with Commander Sean Moylan, who said, "I don't want to be in the first one," actually exists and is hanging as we speak in Ors Nuthron, which I find absolutely fascinating. So On Post have replicated Men of the South as a stamp with the permission of the Keating estate, which has become an iconic because it reflects the War of Independence period. And the 1916 commemorations had a clean narrative, they say in this piece, but it's way more complex and fractured when it comes to commemorating the War of Independence. 6 months after sitting for this painting, these men, or men like them, could have ended up fighting on opposite sides in the Civil War. So it just thought, as a painting goes and as the story of a painting goes, it's absolutely fascinating. And it's in the Irish Examiner today, but you can look it up, Men of the South, and you could stare at it for a long time and imagine them arriving up to the art gallery and the school saying, "We're ready to pose." Brilliant. A little piece underneath it, by the way, reminding you of this podcast on RTE that I absolutely loved at the weekend called The Nobody Zone, 6-part series from RTE's documentary on One. According to its creators, it says this podcast features something never previously heard anywhere from anyone, the confession tape of an Irish serial killer. And if you haven't heard it, you really should. A true crime story that's both bizarre and at times hard to believe. It's taken almost 5 years to piece together. And having heard the first episode at the weekend, you can hear every day of effort that's gone into it. This is a really quality piece in a way that we've been force-fed or force-feeding ourselves kind of mediocre American podcasts, true crime podcasts that go on and on and on with vocal fry coming out of your ear holes. And actually what you want is a properly narrated 6-part series, not 400 parts of somebody who doesn't have an editor or a friend to tell them to stop. So this is just great stuff. And The Nobody Zone is not a whodunit, says Owen O'Sullivan today. Rather, it leaves us asking why the guy did it and how he managed to escape prosecution. New episodes released weekly, with episode 2 out today. I'll just remind you, that's called the Nobody Zone. So get on that bus because you won't regret it. Okay, what are we on? 9:19. Just enough time to say I can't stand the Invisible Man. I don't know what I've seen the Invisible Man as a concept. I used to watch it in the 80s. There was a BBC series. It was so poorly made and badly acted that even as a young, precocious pain in the arse, I still hated it. And now there's a film with Elizabeth Moss from The Handmaid's Tale and West Wing in it. Saw a trailer for it the other day. The concept of it, maybe I'm being unfair to the Wells estate, or maybe I'm being unfair to her ability to act, but the idea that she's been stalked by something that we can't see, and you know, she's looking out a window and you can see her breath on the, and then suddenly another one appears beside her. It does nothing for me. The Invisible Man drives me mad. I want, if I'm going to see the baddie floating around, I kind of want to see the body. I can't do it. It must say something about me. I don't know what it is, but the Invisible Man, no. And of course, I was ranting about this. I actually pretended upstairs that I was being attacked by the Invisible Man. I said, "Do you see how ludicrous I look?" And they said, "Yeah, you need to go and see it." I said, "I don't want to go and see it." And now they're kind of saying, "You need to go and see it." Right, let's take a couple of texts before we play some music. Paddy Power, Mr. Tricks, says a text, "Forget Siobhan. Most people actually, especially presenters, can't say sixth. Instead, they say sixth." That's different from the ad on TV, says Pat. "The one I've seen doesn't mention the black and tans or running the Royals." Interesting. Yeah, well, spotted eagle eye there. Alice says, "I've seen the Paddy Power ad. Love it. It seems our sense of humour is an endangered species. Such a pity if people are becoming uptight about this gentle joshing." Indeed. It's kind of post-Brexit humour, isn't it? 51551 is the text number. You can email ryan at rte.ie. It's now, what, 9:20. Perfect. We'll go here. All right, all right. Put your toys away, boys. That's Set of Rolling Stones and She's a Rainbow. Actually, if you're listening to that with good headphones, you would have really enjoyed the trippy way they played with the musical instruments there. If it's on your radio in the corner of your kitchen, not so much. Billy Joel took a little break from his Madison Square Garden show the other night to speak about a robbery that hit his Long Island house the last time he played the New York Arena. They smashed a glass door. And what did they do? They went in and they vandalized 12 of his motorbikes. It's a first world issue, no doubt about it. But if that's your world, that's not nice. So he spoke about it and he said, don't try it again, because he's going to be hitting the road this summer. He's going to be playing out in Boston's Fenway Park, and he's going to be heading out to Cincinnati and just around the place. And he said to people, don't be taking me on now. Wouldn't be worth it.
Believe in New York City. Welcome to Madison Square Garden. Last time I was here, they hit my house. As everybody knows, I'm not home. I got dogs, lights, guns, everything in the house now. I'm hoping they try it again. Come on, bring it up.
Guns and dogs now, so don't be messing with his bikes. Right, let's take some text. 51551, the Paddy Power ad is both ridiculous and not at all funny. What would Irish racing, and indeed Paddy Power, do without British horse racing? They would simply not exist. And let's not mention the thousands of Irish working in the UK in the horse industry. Carol says, myself and my daughter commented on that ad yesterday. We think it's divisive and not like us. We don't like the us against them feeling it portrays. But thanks for bringing it up. The other one says, the only issue I have with those hilarious Paddy Power ads is that when they run them just before we meet England on the rugby pitch, we end up being thrashed. Yeah, that was a little unfortunate, I think it has to be said. Compare and contrast the Welsh Rugby Union Six Nations ad entitled The Purse with the new Paddy Power ad for Cheltenham. The first is a joyous celebration of nationhood without being anti-anybody. Excuse me. The second is small-minded and unnecessarily critical of the opposition in the up-the-ra vein. We need, says Barbara, less of the latter in these still tense days of Brexit negotiations. Do you know what I find intriguing is the amount of thought that has gone into your reaction to the ad, that you've given it time, and that in itself is revealing. Anne says that Paddy Pariad does not sit well with me at all. There's so many underlying messages and jibes at the British that it certainly is not in the spirit of friendship and kindness. We sound bitter and twisted and slightly jealous and revengeful. It stirs up negative emotions. Goodness knows, in the world we live in today, it's bridges and bonds we need to build on and foster instead of this. And okay, well, thanks for that response so far. It's certainly, as I say, food for thought. I agree, says Paul, with regards to The Invisible Man. The only version I liked was the 70s American TV series Gemini Man with Ben Murphy. Remember, he had to wear a watch to stabilise his form. Perfect Saturday morning viewing on Anything Goes. Well remembered. A definite must is to go and see Dark Waters, based on the story, true story about Teflon and the company that makes it. One thing that strikes me is that no one is talking about it. You will be shocked. Dark Waters. Okay, thanks for that. I haven't been to the cinema for a while, but I have to go and see a film for work purposes later. I'll tell you about that on another occasion. And plenty on other things. We'll get to them as soon as we can, but I want to take a break first.
The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1.
Right, at 4 minutes to, let's see, I think we might have just time to play a little bit of a track, if that's okay. No, not maybe not. No, we won't have time. It's a bit tight. Okay, so what we'll do is we'll take a few comments from people that have been on to us to say different things about our chat this morning, which was lovely. And thanks indeed to all of those people who've been saying all the good things about Vicky. And then an awful lot of response on the Paddy Power ad as well. Just listening to some of the negative reactions to the Paddy Power ad, says Margaret, and all I can say is, would you get over yourselves? I think it's brilliant. Very gentle poke at our neighbours. You can only do that to a friend. So that balances that up a little bit. Another says, ah, lads, that ad is witty and funny and without malice. It makes fun of both sides. We've allowed what we perceive as political correctness to stunt our sense of humour and ability to laugh, especially at ourselves. We don't laugh enough anymore, and that ad is doing exactly what good advertising should. It has us talking. Paddy Power ad, says Dave in Galway, is grand. It's the same sort of friendly jibe mates would say in the pub. Any assertion otherwise is nonsense and over-analytical. It's just having the crack. The Invisible Man, meanwhile, says Sinead and Dog, what a load of nonsense. Surely a money-saving attempt not to have to pay a leading man. What if he wins Best Supporting Actor in a leading role at next year's Oscars? That I'd like to see. Yeah, being presented by the presenter that doesn't exist. That'd be quite an interesting 2 minutes. We'll have to wait and see. In Dancing with the Stars every week, while announcing who has lost, etc., they always say, the next couple saved is, Desmond says, should that not be the next couple saved, are, Gabe would scream at them. Would he not? He sure would. Best True Crime documentary. Yeah, this is definitely, this is criminal.com. 20 minutes long, professionally written and researched by Lauren Sporer, produced by one of the best producers in the USA, Rob Byers. Okay, well, I'll have a go with that because I'm just pretty bored with them at the moment. They just aren't doing a job. And just in they come loads on the ad, which is intriguing in itself, and lots on Vicky too. So we'll get to more of those when we can. Okay, we might keep some of those comments on the ad going tomorrow because it's such strong thoughts and quite lengthy comments on that. So we might return to that tomorrow, being Wednesday morning. I don't know if you heard Una Healy. She's on between 12 and 1, filling in for Ronan this week. So just wanted to welcome her to the factory, the fun factory this morning. It's a great part. I spoke to her briefly yesterday and she's in great form and did a lovely job yesterday, so she's welcome aboard. But it's 10 o'clock now, so we have to say goodbye. Stay tuned for Sean O'Rourke. Have a great old day and thank you for listening.
The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1.